Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a
point of contention.
I promised when I got elected, I'd always give it to you straight from the shoulder. The good, the bad, the truth. So as we head into Christmas weekend,
welcome to Point of Contention. We're back. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. It's January 13th. Happy New Year. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoy's producing. Coming up on the show, Grizz are growling. Trade season's growling. Clay's return is growling. Defensive player of the year. And 2022's big disappointment. Let's go to our two contestants in this corner from the softest Charmin soft streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book From the Mid-Ange, Indiana's Relentless Pursuit of Mediocrity. It's Jay, the kid, the god on Peloton, King Jay. HBO recasting The Wire and looking for new actors. What part be best suited for Marcus? Bunk, Stringer Bell, Prop Joe, or a character that's not black?
I was going to go with Bubs.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, I'm with that.
Okay.
I'm with Bubs.
He'd make a good Bubs.
Bubs was a hustler. You know, I have an addictive personality. Yeah, listen, I can rock with Bubs.
You gotta look like you don't shower, and that's part just creeps me out. I don't like that.
But you could do
but
that.
But Bubs redeemed himself, right?
Man,
Bubs.
I mean, he did, and then he didn't, and then he did, and then he didn't.
Yeah,
you know,
facts.
Roller coaster.
Bubs was resilient, though. That dude always came back from shit.
Have heavy experience with addicts, so it feels right to me.
Okay, well, this is uplifting. In this corner, Bay Area
good
legend,
start to this
author
podcast.
Of the Thank God We're Back, author of the two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, the Wire reboot. The part would be best suited for Jay King, Herc, Hizbulowski, McNulty, Stringer Bell.
I'm going with Bunk.
Bunk?
Yes.
I was hoping he would say I was, you know, so if I had to pick my Wire character, it's Lester Freeman. 1,000%.
Oh, Lester Freeman's
like,
the best.
I'm Lester Freeman.
You actually are Lester Freeman.
I'm giving Bugs. Jay King Bunk. Like, can't you just see Jay in the bar with the dead cop on the table? Mm-hmm. Like, you
yep,
know,
absolutely.
Throw it up outside.
Absolutely, yeah. If any of us any of us dies at the Athletic, that's the send off I expect. Jay King just holding our dead bodies up at a bar, ordering as many drinks
Marcus
as possible.
Could be Gus too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't hate
just
that.
A respectable editor
for sure. Yeah, I'm into that. I think that works. All right.
Who's like, hold on, man. I don't trust this white boy. Yeah. Hold on. This dude lying.
He's had that conversation with Marcus many a time. All right.
This dude lying. How he get here?
That's enough banter. Jade, start the clock. The Grizzlies are growling. The NBA's hottest team, the Memphis Grizzlies, won their 10th straight game Tuesday night. defeating Steph Curry and the Warriors 118-106. Memphis has now won 20 of their last 24 games, putting the Grizzlies percentage points behind the Utah Jazz for third place in the Western Conference standings as of this recording. Ja Morant's 29 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists led the way for the Grizz and their franchise record streak, which includes wins over the Nets, the Lakers, which are a bad team, the Suns, and now the Warriors. Quote from Ja Morant after the win: "We're one of the best teams in the league." Marcus, is this actually the best team in the NBA, and how confident are you about this team once we get to the postseason?
They're not the best team in the NBA. You talking about the Memphis Grizzlies or the Warriors?
The Grizzlies of Memphis.
I'm about to be like, yeah. The Memphis Grizzlies are not the best team in the NBA.
I don't know.
They are scary as hell, though. Mm-hmm. The problem with them from the postseason perspective, and this is they're just going to have to build their team. Like, but they just have one way to play. Period. Like, they have one way to play, and if you figure out a way to play against that, they're done. They don't have a counter.
It's a good way to play, though.
It's a great way to play, right? It's a great way to play. I mean, really, the key to them is to not turn the ball over, right?
Yeah.
Force them to play half-court offense. Like, the Warriors don't do that. The Warriors turn the ball over. But, teams that don't turn it over and you make them have to score every possession, now, the percentages start to become what they are. I think whoever plays them in the playoff is going to walk out of that series like they lost a kidney or something, right? There's going to be you might not lose the series against them, mm-hmm. but you're going to lose something, and it's going to pay. You're going to pay a price. I wouldn't be surprised if they're the third best team in the West, though.
Interesting.
I think Phoenix is better. I still think Phoenix might be the best team in the league. We'll see. Warriors with Clay will definitely trump them once Clay gets rolling. But as it stands right now, and I think the Warriors are better. They can beat Memphis. Memphis is a tough, tough matchup for them. That's not going to be a 4-game series. Yeah. That's going to be
a 7-game
You better
series.
Get out of here in 6.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to have a 4-game series with Memphis.
You don't want that to be 7.
Somebody might be the wrong end of that 4-game series.
I think that
first round matchup may be tough. Jay,
they play the Lakers in round 1.
Jay, I have tried to tell you all season long about the Memphis Grizzlies, and you have poo-pooed it left and right, dismissing it left and right.
Me?
Are you now on the Grizzlies hype train?
I've been on the Grizzlies hype train from the beginning. I have been high on that. This is a team that is a force to be reckoned with. They're like one of those homegrown teams. And I saw what Clay said when he got asked whether they remind him of the Warriors.
Let me translate what Clay was saying there. This is a good team, but you're out of your damn mind if you
Clay
think they
like,
remind you of the 2015 Warriors.
One of the most disrespectful questions I've ever heard. And I get why he took it that way, and I get why he just totally shitted on the premise of that question, because they're not the Warriors. But in that same way that the Warriors were homegrown, and one year it's like, oh, that's a respectable young team. And then the next year it's like, oh, they're dangerous. And then a year later it's like, okay, they're really one of the best teams in the league now. And that's where the Memphis Grizzlies are right now. They've reached that stage where they've outgrown being like the plucky underdog. They've outgrown being just, a team in the playoff mix, and now they're here. They are one of the best teams in the league. Ja Morant is one of the best players in the league. Desmond Bane has been awesome. The rest of that team, and they've had a lot of injuries too. Like, Ja Morant missed a lot of time. Dylan Brooks has missed a lot of time, and this team just keeps rolling. So they're here. They're here to stay. And it's been really fun to watch them.
Yeah, they've just been super impressive. And I'm glad that you're finally on board with this Grizzlies team, because I've been trying to tell you all season long, this Grizzlies team is for real. And they turned around their defense. Like, they were literally the worst defense in the league. And then Ja Morant got hurt and they became the best defense in the league. And then he came back and they've still been the best defense in the league. And look, 20 out of 24, 10 straight. Like, you can't really argue with that.
Yeah, you can't argue with that at all. And the way they're doing it too, it's just they attack teams and keep attacking teams. And Ja Morant does ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And Desmond Bane just keeps making play after play. And they're tough. Like, they're for real. They are really, really for real. I do put them in the upper half of the Western Conference, whether you want to put them 3, 4, whatever. They're in that mix. I don't think they're on the Phoenix or Golden State level, but they're right there in the next level.
What do you want to do here, Jay?
I don't know. Something has happened with my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, what does he mean? He's out? I just need to know if he's out. If he's out, we just continue without him.
Yeah, we could just, I mean, we could just keep going and I could just play the part of Marcus. They just say, oh, technical difficulties, but we're going to keep going. I'll fill in, you know. And then we'll just start, we'll start Jay with every question and then.
Wi-Fi outage.
A Wi-Fi outage. That's very different than wife.
Is that?
That's very different.
Oh,
is, now it's less that we could.
I really my thought bad. Your wife was in
yeah,
trouble.
I was like, oh, my fuck. Like,
I thought you were like,
my wife.
I felt bad when Jay was like, hope everything's okay. Here yeah. I am. Like,
I didn't know what he was talking about. What I knew was just my Wi-Fi. Yeah. And then, I didn't realize I said wife.
I'm sitting exactly here with a pit in my stomach.
No, I was like,
oh,
I don't even know we should do this pod today.
Must have happened.
Oh, man.
And you know what? I'm very happy for your genuine concern.
Yeah. All right.
Jade, leave all this in.
Take two. Trade season is Ben season.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
With roughly 1 month until the trade deadline, teams are combing the wires for potential deals, including Daryl Morey of the 76ers, the notorious Demo. Still hanging on to Ben Simmons, who has yet to play a game this season. Sam Amick of The Athletic reported today that the length and size of Simmons' contract is a concern to some across the league. And on top of that,
he said contract.
The
Jeez.
Sixers are reportedly trying to attach Tobias Harris to the deal. Both guys are owed a substantial amount of money in years to come. As Kyle Kuzma put it on Twitter, how do you send out 80 M's? 80 M's, 80 millions between Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons. Shams Charania reported on Monday the suitors for Ben Simmons include Atlanta, Sacramento, Portland, Minnesota, and Indiana. Jay King, will Ben Simmons be a 76er on February 11th?
He can't be, can he? They cannot hold on to Ben Simmons and waste a year when Joel Embiid is this good and not even try to improve their roster. Can they? Like, is that a thing Daryl Morey could do? Is he really
he
going
to? He said 4 years.
He said that, but that's something you would say if you wanted to trade him.
But
at
did
the
you
deadline.
Think we were going to go to this point without and even seeing wanted, Ben Simmons out there?
No, I did not. But also, the news that they want to include Tobias Harris in the deal is basically saying nobody else on our roster is good enough to win a championship with Joel Embiid. We need to change mostly every, like, the two best other players on the team, maybe yeah. Seth Curry's up there if you want to put him there, whatever. But they know they have a lot of work to do. They know they're not good enough. They know Joel Embiid is awesome. And Ben Simmons is literally sitting there doing nothing for them. They have to trade him.
What worried me, Marcus, is when it said Ben Simmons could be ready like after a few weeks of, you know, intensified conditioning and court action. I'm like, yeah. Hold on a second. A few weeks? That implies like a minimum of three. What the hell is he doing?
Yeah, because 2 weeks, you say 2 weeks,
yeah,
right?
2 weeks, yeah. You say a couple of weeks or 2 weeks. 1 week is like, oh, I'll be back. You know, he just needs a week. But a few weeks, that's at least three.
Man, he's on that Klay Thompson plan, you know? Like, yo, I'm ready, but, you know, give me a few weeks to get my conditioning right? Like, I'm gonna go the opposite. I think he'll be on the team. I think he'll be on the team February 11th because
you
think Daryl Morey
be on the roster
stubborn.
Or on the team
or the roster.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I don't think he's taking the floor.
If he doesn't get traded, do you like he's got to take the floor, right? There's got to be a point where he just signs.
I would think so.
Right?
I would think so, but not on February 11th, right?
Right,
but
right.
I do think Daryl Morey is stubborn. I've been told this multiple times. Daryl Morey just won't take a deal he think is bad. He just won't do it.
Yeah.
And as long as he overvalues Simmons, at least for this situation, every deal's going to be a bad deal. Like
he wants a top 30 dude in return assets plus cap
so
friendly, whatever.
For him to come down, like, I mean, he started so high that even coming down is crazy, right? Yeah. Like, so eventually it's going to feel to him like he's trading, like, you know, Ben Simmons for some cologne at the Subway, right? Like, by the time he gets the deal he want, the deal he's offered. So now it's like, all right, well, at least you're going to take this huge salary, well, right? At least take Tobias, right? If I'm not going to get the return, I think it's a sign of how he views it. And I don't think anybody's going to break the bank to give up to get Simmons, right?
Not
like, if you're Atlanta, why would you give up John Collins for a dude who ain't played?
Right.
And also, like, you just basically tank your offense, essentially. Like, you got to move Trey off the ball because Simmons can't play off the ball, right? Like,
yeah. No, I think Simmons as the screener for Trey would be tough.
Yeah, it would.
It would be.
But like not with Collins and Clint Capella out there clogging it up, right?
It would be a very clogged.
John Collins could shoot a little bit
with Looney.
But the Warriors have Steph, and Trae Young is not Steph. Trae Young is very good, but he's not Steph.
That is absolutely
And Ben Simmons
true.
Is not Draymond.
Also, Steph can play off the ball. Yeah. Like, you know, you're not going to screen every. You're not going to run the same play every time. And what happens when it's like, all right, Simmons, in order just to have some kind of value, you got to have the ball in your hands. And now Trae is running off screens at like 5'11", 170, like. But in order to make that deal, what would make Daryl Morey do that deal? It's John Collins.
It has to be Collins.
Like, are you giving up John Collins for a bit? Like, every deal that Morey would take, the other team was like, why am I doing that? Yeah. I'm not doing that.
I mean, Ben Simmons is better than John Collins, but I don't know.
Yes, no
question. I don't know if John Collins is like.
But you're completely rearranging your team.
Yeah, because that's not a seamless fit. That's not a seamless fit.
Which is probably not the worst thing for Atlanta at this point.
Travis Schlenk's on it. I don't know if I should have these dudes back. Now, Jay, I'm curious what your reaction to this was when Marcus said getting cologne at the Subway. Did you think a Subway or did you think a sandwich shop?
I immediately thought sandwich shop. Buffalo chicken.
What is wrong with these people? Y'all never bought cologne out of a dude inside of his jacket. I grew up in Sacramento.
We don't have Subway.
You'll never
We have
this.
Sandwich shops. Like, we
I mean,
don't have
I was trying to. Hey, you know what's funny? You know what's funny, Zach? I was trying to be like, you know, more national with it. We don't have Subways either. We have BART, but I figured I'd say Subway.
BART does go under. BART goes under, though. Like, you got to go down to the ground.
We don't call it a Subway. We just call it BART.
We call it BART, but
I was trying to reach out to my East Coast brother and bring him into discussion.
Oh, don't even get me started
Subway.
On getting around that city of Boston. Don't even get me started on that garbage layout of a city. What is
Beautiful
wrong with
city.
That city?
It, what? Hold on. You live in L.A. It took me like 5 hours just to get out to your
you
comedy
didn't
show.
Stay in L.A. You didn't stay in L.A. You stayed in like an hour away from L.A. That's on you.
That's what L.A. is. You're in L.A. and still an hour away from L.A.
No, it's not. You know, I know that because I live in L.A. I didn't stay in Redondo Beach.
L.A. is too spread
if
out.
Beach
man.
Is in the name of where you're staying. You're not in L.A.
Yeah, you're not in L.A.
Yeah, you're not
what
in
about
L.A.
Manhattan
at all.
Beach, not L.A.
You know who knows L.A.? Clay Thompson. Take three. Clay Day.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Klay Thompson made his long-awaited return to the NBA on Sunday, and what a celebration it was. Jay, play the tape.
He's back! And now, it is 11th NBA season out of Washington State University. Number 11, Klay Thompson!
941 days since his last game, Klay Thompson helped lead the Warriors past the Cavaliers 96-82 after missing 177 straight games. Klay wasn't shy with the trigger. He got up 18 shots in 20 minutes. He made 7, including 3 of 8 from behind the arc. He even dunked on somebody. He reached 2 milestones, 12,000 career points, 1,800 career three-pointers. He finished with 17 points. That dunk was on Jared Allen, one of the best rim protectors in the league, late in the second quarter. Klay said after the game, "Gosh, it was fun, and it was worth every single day of being away in that squat rack or on that shuttle board and all the conditioning days. It was a night to remember." And Marcus, you were there. So what did you observe Sunday night at Chase Center, and how important is Klay's return with this team poised to make some noise in the playoffs?
Outside of observing a grown man say "gosh" in a press conference,
I don't like it. Yeah, that really, I lost a lot of respect for Klay there.
He said it like 3 times.
Yeah, I know, like, it was too much. Once I'll let it go. Twice I've got some questions. Third time I'm like, come on, man.
I mean, that's why
you've still been around Draymond.
Klay, right?
What are you doing?
I wouldn't have taken him as a "gosh" guy.
No,
either.
Not at
why?
All.
That's why we love Klay, because he's gonna say "gosh" whether we like it or not. He's just gonna be him. You know, it was you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, Zach. Like, to me, the significance of this game was like Chase Center grew up a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
That was the first moment. And it was a moment, yo. It was a moment. And we knew it would be like the way Steph and Draymond was acting leading up to it. Like, it was a moment. And I was like, look at Chase. Mm-hmm. Look at Chase, got a little hair on his chest today. Yeah. Is that a little mustache, Chase? Mm-hmm. Chase grew up a little mm-hmm. bit. It was definitely hype in there. You could feel the vibe. It was the first time you felt that in Chase. It, like, still not what we used to feel in Oracle, right? There's still a difference, but
it's still it was Oakland, something. Right?
Yeah. It was something. Like, it was emotional. It was touching. Like, there was some drama there. And Klay is Klay, man. This dude, like, is literally trying to dunk. He landed like Spider-Man. Like, he didn't just come off an ACL and an Achilles tear. Yeah. Like, he was a savage about it. It's going to be – it's crazy because the unique part is he's a different player. I don't know if you've watched
he's
him.
He's going off, like, the dribble a lot.
He's dribbling way more than he ever dribbled. He's like, yo, I'm taking dudes off the dribble. Yeah. And the Warriors don't really have a lot of that. If Klay comes back – one of the great shooters of all time, and also a creator off the dribble, like, that's that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem that even Memphis might not be able to handle.
I feel like we're going a little too far with this, though. Like, we're thinking because he got to the rack a few times that Klay Thompson went away for 2 years and is going to come back a better player. Like, that's just not going to happen unless he's Kevin Durant. You know, like, Kevin Durant came back as good or better. I just don't see it happening with Klay. I do think he still changes everything for them. And I think it's obvious his confidence is there, which takes a lot of guys a long time to get not just the ability to go in traffic and finish, but the mentality to go into traffic and finish. And for Clay to have that already is really impressive. The thing that's going to matter most to me is, can he hold up defensively? Because obviously with his shooting, even if just the threat of him shooting, even if he doesn't shoot like himself, he's going to be a significant plus for the Warriors offense just by the threat of him. But defensively is where it's going to be make or break for him and them. And I think I'm optimistic because one, he looks to be moving well. And two, his defense has never been about like, I'm more athletic than people. I'm longer. Like, it's just, I stay in front of people. I use great angles. I'm as sound as a defender gets. And that to me gives him a better chance of holding up there, even as he's returning from injury.
Yeah, Marcus.
There is no way in this world, Zach, I would have him playing defense.
there's no point to it in the first place. But I was going to ask you, Marcus, like with him, because the Warriors are so good defensively, I wonder how important it is to get him back to that defensive level. I guess maybe to justify paying him $40 million a year at some point, you need him to be that. But anytime soon, they've been so good defensively. Like, I don't know that it's that important short term.
I don't think it is. I don't think they think it is. I don't think not this year he's going to be that guy he used to be. And he may not ever be. You just don't want him chasing point guards anymore. Like, you just don't want him doing
that.
Here's
the thing.
That's what Wiggins is for.
But here's the thing. Come playoff time, it's going to be Phoenix. It's going to be Chris Paul and Devin Booker taking turns going at somebody. And if Klay's not up to that challenge, that is a huge deficit.
If Klay's not up to that challenge, they got Andrew Wiggins and they got Gary Payton II.
But I'm saying, it's tough to avoid those matchups against the best teams.
I think he's fine.
Leave a guy out of it against the best teams. I think he'll be fine too.
I think he's fine against a guy like Booker. I think you could put him on Mikhail. You don't want him guarding Chris Paul. You don't want him guarding Ja Morant. I think those days are the days that are done.
Yeah.
Like you could even put him on fours. He is huge.
He's
like
strong.
He's physical.
He's strong. Yeah.
He's hella strong. Like, Jaren Jackson could not move him last night. He's strong. I'd lose a series before I have him guard Ja. It's like, yo, they're gonna run this thing for 3-4 years. Like, what do you get out of it, really? Unless he can go out and lock up Ja, but why?
Right.
Why?
Like, there's no need to do it now.
That's another reason why Gary Payton II's emergence is huge for them, because he gives him another guy to throw on point guards, to throw on the most dynamic ball handlers. Like, he's been
the mitten.
I can't believe how good he's been this year.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. I keep thinking, like, yo, is this real?
I don't know if people, because I think people look at him a lot as a young dude. Like, he's 28 years old, right?
No, yeah,
he's been grinding this out.
This is one of the most random emergencies since
leagues and all that.
Yes, absolutely. No, you know what they say, guys? Defense wins championships. Speaking of, take four. It's time to get your wallets out, folks, as we look at the odds for Defensive Player of the Year, courtesy our friends over at BetMGM. Right now, leading the way, Draymond Green, -110, followed by Rudy Gobert at +240, Giannis at +1,000, Mikal Bridges at +2,000, and Joel Embiid at +3,000. What, no love for Jared Vanderbilt? Come on, man. This guy's one of the best defenders in the league. Come on, BetMGM. You got to do better than that. I need some Jared Vanderbilt odds. So I guess, you know what? Leave him off the board. I'll take +10,000, +20,000 on Jared Vanderbilt. I'll do that. Jay, here is $500 of James Edward III's drip fund. Who you got for your Defensive Player of the Year odds?
I'm going to be boring. I'm going to throw it all on the favorite. I'm throwing it all on Draymond Green.
Wow.
That's going to be a winner. Nobody else deserves that award this year. Draymond Green has been back to peak Draymond after a couple of years where he wasn't quite there. I think the situations dictated that he wasn't fully locked in. He's locked in. That Warriors defense is unbelievable. And he just ruins opponents regularly in a way that nobody else can. He can ruin a point guard on a possession. He can ruin a big on a possession. Sometimes he does it with multiple positions on the same play. I think he only has one Defensive Player of the Year award, right?
He lost a couple to Kawhi, lost one to Dre or to Rudy. Like, yeah,
it's time to get him a second. He deserves at least two at this point.
All right, Marcus, I'm giving you $500 of James Edward III's peacoat money. Who you got?
Does he have to sell the P code?
He has to sell the P code, and then, yeah, that's tough day. Yeah, it's a rough
one.
So
if he's selling that P code, I should get at least $800 out of it. Depends on what Subway I sell it at. I'm going with Draymond. It's all about narrative, and we already created a narrative for Draymond.
Wow.
Right? Like, it's already done.
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty much done.
He's defensive player of the
year. Rudy can't win again. Rudy won't win again.
That's going to be what happened in the playoffs. That's going to be a tough one, man. Dude.
As good as he's been, but then you see the Jazz without him. And you're like, oh, man, like that's what they look like without him. Like he is hugely important. He's awesome. But Draymond's the best defender in the league this year.
By the way, speaking of Draymond, one of the worst decisions he could have made is going in there for 7 seconds. I get the sentiment to go in there and you wanted to start when Clay started. But if you're not playing, it's kind of meaningless, AC Green. Okay, like that's not doing anything for us. Like, I think he messed up his averages. Plus, he apparently cost sportsbooks millions of dollars by leaving that way. That's tough, man. Terrible decision all around.
You're going to cry for the sportsbooks?
I'm crying for the people.
You're going to cry for the sportsbooks?
I'm crying for his average. I'm crying for his averages more than anything.
Draymond doesn't care about his averages.
That's not true.
He doesn't care about his averages.
Marcus,
if he cared, he wouldn't.
I'm not saying it's his priority.
That was a gesture to Clay. It wasn't like
it's an empty gesture.
Clay was going to be so sad if he didn't start. But it's I'm willing to ruin my averages a little bit.
Hate it.
I just want to be out there sharing that moment. And there are plenty more moments to come because this Warriors team is going to win the title.
Terrible.
Yeah, I definitely get it. The reason it makes sense is because leading up to it, like he was just so excited about it, right? So the reason it makes sense, I could see why he's like, man, you got to give me something, right? At least let me be in the starting lineup with him. It was still kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, just be on the bench with him. Right?
Super weird. Super weird. It's not like he wasn't in the building. Like you're going to be there. And then, by the way, you come back. It's like, hey, we got a game tonight where Draymond and Steph and Claire are going to start to go. You can market that.
Yeah, it was an emotional decision. It wasn't a logical one at all. Like Clay made a logical decision when he didn't go to New York for Steph's 3-point thing, right? Like, you know, Clay wanted to be there. Steph's got the jersey up, but he's like, listen, I'm trying to get back. So you could tell
Draymond was just trying to send Clay a message. Like, this is how we support teammates in big moments, Clay.
Yeah, yeah. And you
maybe
been
that's
there.
What it was.
Okay,
maybe
now I'm back there. Now I'm back there. Now we got a little controversy. Clay. Now I'm back
there. Dang, Jay.
I like that spin.
Absolutely. All right. You're on notice, Clay. Okay. Draymond's willing to sacrifice. Are you?
Trade deadline coming up, too.
Trade deadline coming up. That's a big contract. You know, maybe
Ben Simmons would have been there. Yeah,
Ben Simmons is available. Tobias Harris is available. You know how you match $80 million? You throw 40 up on one player. You have a couple of 40s right there. All right.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Take five, the big disappointment. As we near the halfway point of the season, it's a good time to take a look around the league and identify the teams that have not exactly lived up to expectations. The big disappointments, we shall call them today. We know all about the trials of LeBron and the Lakers. Damian Lillard and the Blazers are obviously another one. the Wolves always end up being this. The Kings always end up on this list. So, Marcus, player, coach, front office, team, what's your 2022 big disappointment?
Atlanta Hawks. I thought they would be the third or fourth best team in the East. Like, I didn't buy that with the Knicks. I never believed Portland. I didn't think Portland was this bad, but I never thought Portland was great, right? It's like, you know. How does Atlanta look like they looked last year in the playoffs and now are five games under 500 with, like, not much hope? You know, like, it's
they had the Bucks
it's
on the
wild.
Ropes. They had the Bucks on the ropes.
If Trae Young doesn't turn his ankle, they probably end up in the finals.
They could have went to the finals. Yeah. Like, it's wild how far they've fallen and how fast and how hopeless it feels. Mm-hmm. Like, Cam Reddish looks way better, and somehow they're worse. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Travis Schlenk went on the radio in Atlanta and said, I don't know if I should have brought these dudes back.
Yeah.
I just don't. What? I don't understand. Like, this is wild to me.
Wild thing to say on the radio.
And you know, Travis, he don't know how to not say what he's thinking either.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's something.
That's PR's fault for putting him on the radio.
You should not let him go on that show. That is something where if that had come out in like a leaked tape, we would have been like, oh man, Travis like stepped in it. No, he jumped in it willingly. Willingly.
Yep. Yeah, he wanted to go there. He wanted to let everybody know that these idiots he brought back have not lived up to expectations.
Jay, what about you? What's your big disappointment of 2022?
I'm going to go with the Blazers. Because the Hawks, I feel like the Hawks, I felt like there was some regression coming. Mm-hmm. And then the Eastern Conference is so much better. Like the Cavs, the Heat are just so, so much better that it was going to be tough for Atlanta to stay, even in the 4 or 5 seed, even if they played well. The Blazers, like, they've just crumbled. And I actually think it'll be a good thing for them long term because it makes it obvious they need to move on. They need to change everything, basically. But they just haven't even been competitive. And I know some of it's injuries, but you watch that team, and even when Dame plays, even when CJ McCollum was playing, it was just a lifeless team that seemed to know, like, our time is up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect that to happen so soon. I definitely didn't expect it to happen this year. I thought they would be competitive, and they just haven't been.
I'm with you. This is great for the Blazers.
Yeah, it's probably the best thing that could have possibly happened for them to make it abundantly clear, highlight it, underline it, everything. Like, this core is broken, and they needed that because this core hasn't been good enough and probably was never going to be good enough for years, but now they know. At least they know.
I'm gonna give you
but the problem is Dame knows it too.
Dame's not an idiot. That's a tough problem.
Like, if you did have a chance to rebuild around Dame, and maybe you still do, like, he's sitting there looking at this mess like, I'm not sure my coach is any good. I'm not sure that my teammates are any good. I'm not sure my organization has any idea.
No, here's the thing. He knows they're not. I'm not sure. He knows they're not. Let me give you mine. It's the entire Toronto Raptors organization. It has nothing to do with the play on the court. I'm a big fan. They're surging. They're doing a good thing.
I wasn't expecting this one.
It's not Masai Ujiri, any moves he's made. It's that Tuesday night. You had Devin Booker complain about a Raptor mascot behind the basket. And what happened? They caved. They moved the mascot. In a night where there's an empty gym or a full gym, it doesn't matter. That mascot could be there. We've seen the Houston Rockets bear mascot thing, which makes sense for a rocket. We've seen them pop out of trash cans before. We've seen fans flash people. We've seen signs that are inappropriate. We've seen, you know, that one weird guy in Portland who's like kind of putting a hex on him. We've seen the weird guy in Brooklyn that's putting a hex on him. We've seen so many things. And what did the Raptors do? They said, oh, sorry, Mr. Booker, let's move this Raptor out of the way. No. They should have put him on a ladder. They should have put him on top of the damn backboard at that point, have him resting on the shot clock. underdog. I cannot believe the Raptors gave in. It makes me question my whole belief in this team this season. Is Fred VanVleet an all-star at this point? I don't know. They moved the Raptor. Is Scotty Barnes a rookie of the year? I don't know. They moved the Raptor. You don't give in to Devin Booker's complaints there. Devin Booker's laughed about afterwards, knew he got away with complaining about absolutely nothing. Full gym, empty gym. The Raptors should be there, and the Raptors should be doing some weird shit back there.
And is there any other reason to just say, screw you, Devin Booker?
No, like what? It's not like, you're worried he's not going like to sign with
back.
You?
We don't want to upset exactly. him. He's going to come back. If you see him again, it'll be in the finals, yes. which means you won,
yes,
right?
Like, you won. Exactly.
Why are you caving into
you
Devin
can't
Booker,
give in
right?
there. I want an apology from the Raptors organization to Raptors fans out there who weren't allowed in the building and then weren't allowed their Raptor mascot to mess with Devin Booker.
Come on, man. They certified lover boys, man. They ain't trying to fight.
No, man. Those Toronto Raptors fans, they are ready to fight. They are ready to throw down.
The real loser in that was Devin Booker. He had a chance for an incredible moment. Mm-hmm. Like, if he had hit the two free throws and then started cussing out the Raptor,
yeah.
the whole world would have loved him.
Oh,
instead, he was out there like Lee Westwood. Just bitching at fans in the crowd for being too loud. Yeah, I went to the U.S. Open golf tournament one time, and Lee Westwood was just just mad as hell at fans the whole time.
I was like, yo, this is a moment I missed, whatever. It's just some old random private moment.
Lee Westwood, I thought, is this a TV character, or is he mean the golfer?
I thought it was a golfer, man.
I know he's a golfer, but that didn't make any sense.
I thought it was from Westworld or something. I was like, maybe I didn't see the episode.
He went full Lee Westwood, man.
Well, what a fantastic way
to go full Lee Westwood.
Yeah, no, it's cliche for a reason, Jay. I'm with you. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Blue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, Michelle Beadle's podcast, What Did I Miss? For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jay Doy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time. And once again, it's January 13th. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.